Before I get started, I will have to give a thing to go along with it. As most people know me, I'm a science guy. I love science. And a lot of Christians are intimidated by science because, you know, a lot of scientists and great minds of today believe that we all evolved and everything was an accident. It just happened to be. So they get intimidated because they're afraid they might come up with something that they can't answer. And I always like to take that as a challenge, because if you can come up with something I can't answer, well, I can find the answer because I trust the Bible to be true. So there's nothing the scientists can throw out that the Bible can't answer. But I say that just because when you get into science, to me, if you're in it truly and just truly with a searching heart, you see God in science all the way through. Because for one, God is truth. If it's truth, then it has to be of God. So what science says is true, then it has to be from God. And I think God's the greatest scientist of all. One, He created everything, so that kind of qualifies Him. When they say it just randomly happened, it amazes me that they can't see for their own, because they don't want to see, that I'm a numbers guy too. And I believe if it randomly happened, everything would be random. But when you look into nature and you look into science and you look into it, it's funny how the numbers 3, 7, 10, and 12 always show up. You know, 3 means the completeness. 7 is total completeness. 10 is usually the law, you know, represents the law. And 12 is foundational. You know, but it always seems to show up in science when you start to come up with things. Like if you remember the message I did with the stars, there's seven categories of stars. Each star has its own magnitude. There's 10 magnitudes in each category. It doesn't waver. So when you go from one category to the next, there's not a waver out there. It all stays right in that line. And it shows up in nature constantly. So when you look, and when you look in nature, and when you see something in nature, look for those numbers, and look how consistent it is. And the other thing I like to do about science, and you all heard, is when Jesus or God compares Himself to something or tells you to look at something in nature, we'll go into it and dig into it. Like we dug into the ant in Proverbs when He talked about consider the ant. And you see how intricate it is. I mean, and basically it describes how we're to live as a church. And down to our enemies and what we have to watch out for and be aware of. And then when he talks in Malachi about refining us, in his furnace, he talks about refining us as gold and how that process works out. And in the end process, when it's done, the refiner knows that the gold's ready because he can see himself clearly in the gold once it's ready. So I like to do studies like that to see, well, what do you mean? You know, and why did you mean it? Because I don't think God just says something frivolously. I think when He says consider the ant, that's just not something frivolous. Or if they just happen to think of it that moment, I think there's a lot of thought into it. And the same with gold. So I've been studying about light. First, let me read from John. And we'll start with chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came from a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus was the light. If he compared himself to the light, what does that actually mean? Well, when you kind of study in the light, I thought it was interesting, and that's what I wanted to share today. Because it was kind of fascinating when you study about light and exactly what it is. First of all, the light that we see is white light, is the white, you know, the light from the sun. But that's what we see. But all of us in school and stuff, when you put that light through a prism, or if you've seen a waterfall, or if you sprayed a hose, and you'll see the rainbow, or at, you know, even after a rain, when you see the rainbow, you see the colors. Well, it's a guy by the name of Sir Isaac Newton, when he found that when you shine the light through a prism, it broke light down. But science has now learned there's actually, in the white light total, there's actually more to it than just the visible light that we see. And I'll cover those great, because the visible light's what I want to talk about today. But I want to cover the other things first, because I think it's fascinating. Because one, light is broke down into seven components. There's number seven again. Like I said, you know, it was random, it just happened, but seven pops up again. But there's seven components to light. It starts off gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet, your visible light, infrared, microwave, and radio waves. And the other thing that's interesting is the first five that I named all in some way can help healing in some way. Well, five is also the number of grace. So your gamma rays, your X-rays, ultraviolet, visible light, and infrared helps you heal. It aids in healing. Well, the last two, and two, by the way, is always a number associated with witness. The last two has to deal with communication, microwave and radio, which I find, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. So I just think it's interesting that grace, there's five that deals with healing, and the last two deal with witness, which is in communication. In fact, in one of my things, in Job 38, 35, it talks about the God sending forth lightning, and lightning will say, "Here I am." Well, all your radio and TV and everything follows on radio waves. So basically, light does talk, because you send communication through light. If you're sending it through a radio or watching TV, you're using light. But that's God. He's there to heal. He's there to touch. He's there to communicate. But the main thing I want to talk about is, like as I said, is visible light. Visible light, which is the only part that we can see, and is actually, when you look at a scale of wavelengths of light, actually the visible light is just a very small speck in the middle of the scale. Your gamma rays, X-rays, and ultraviolet rays is like this. Then you have your little visible light. Then you have the other end of it with the infrared, microwave, and radio. So actually the visible light is just a very small part of the whole thing. But it's the one that we see. We can't comprehend anything else, but we see the visible light. Interesting thing about visible light? Guess how many colors is in the visible light? You got it. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Again, I go back, it just happened. It was an accident. The universe blew up from nothing. But we still come up with sevens. But the other interesting thing about light is, you know, you mentioned in the visible colors, with light, there's only two ways that black can exist. One, no light at all. If there's no light at all, it's black. Two, if it absorbs all the light, then it's black. Kind of like us. If we don't have light, we're black. If we claim to have light, but we're just absorbing, we're still black. Because we're supposed to reflect back. When you see colors, it's a reflection back of the light. That's when the white light shines on it and the colors come up. That's the reflection. It's actually the object, whatever it is, if you're looking at a green tree, the green's absorbing all the other stuff, but it's showing forth green because it's not absorbing green. It's reflecting it back. Kind of like what God wants to do with us. He wants to shine on us, and He wants us to reflect back the attributes and the things that He's given us. And He wants to see it when He shines the white light on us. He wants to see the colors that we have for Him. Turn real quick to Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel and put it under a candlestick. And put it on a candlestick and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our job as Christians is to let God shine His light on us, and then we reflect the colors that He's given us back to Him. We don't absorb. We don't take in what He has and not give in return. If we do, we're black. Because we're not reflecting his character, we're not reflecting the attributes that He's trying to show the world through us. And that's what He wants us to do. And some of us may say, well, just what is that? What He wants us to do? Well, the best place to go is Romans 12. And we'll start with verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So automatically, we've been given a measure. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And again, we may be many, but we are one. And we all have something. So we are being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we've all been given gifts. So we can't say, I don't have one, or because we've all been given one. We've all been given a collar to shine, at least one, probably several. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to that proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, teacheth. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Kind of sums up the past several months of messages we've got. This lays out the colors that we're supposed to be showing forth back when God's shining His light on us and shining them back to the people who don't have light. Now, are we black because we don't have light, or are we black just because we just want to take in everything God has and not do anything? So where are we? And we all have it. There's a job that God has for us. You know, it's our collar. Like I said, I'm sure we have many collars. Because even when you look at a green tree, it has many different shades of green. When you look at a flower, there's many different colors in a flower. So we all have, there's something there for us, whether it's teaching, whether it's ministering, whether it's singing, whether it's something. I think it pretty well covers the whole gamut there. And these are the colors we're supposed to show forth. And a lot of times we get in the habit of we think the pastor's supposed to do it, and it's not my job. Well, nowhere on there did I say let the pastor do it, or did it say let the pastor or elders do it. It said we. It was all inclusive. God didn't want the pastor to show his collars and nobody else. He's shining his light on all of us. And he wants to see something back. So there's something there for us, that for God to see what our collar is, to see exactly what we're shining out. So the people that don't have color, don't have light, can see that light in us. And when we're not doing these things, we're not showing that light. You know, we might be coming to church and doing all that, but if we're not ministering in some way, we're not showing that light. God built us to minister. He built us to give of ourselves. That's what we're designed to do. And I think every psychologist will tell you when you feel bad, when you feel depressed, the best way to get over that is to get out and help and minister people. And that's mainstream. That's secular. That's not Christian. That's what secular will tell you. Get out, make yourself available to minister and help people. It's written here. You know, we've had modern psychology makes a breakthrough that God's been telling us about for 6,000 years. But that's what we're made to do. We're not made to sit back and say, that's not my job. We're not made to sit back and say, well, that's not me. Well, if that's not you, then there's something in there that is you. We need to find that. We all have some ministry, something that we do. And that's not mean you go on TV and become a televangelist or whatever. You have a ministry. If it's just the gift of knowing when someone's hurting and being able to pray for them and go and talk to them or just give them a hug, that's a ministry. That's the ministry of mercy. And also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And I start with this because this is where Christians have a hard time. Even if we're trying to shine our light. We kind of have a hard time with this because, one, it is hard to do because it requires self-control and it requires to be walking in the Spirit, or you can't do it. But it's the fruits of the Spirit. How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Well, right here it is. I'm going to start. Galatians 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something which he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, if you want to know if you have the Holy Spirit, read those verses and check it off and see if you have it. Especially there in chapter 6, especially when it talks about correcting a brother, because we can be all spiritual till it comes till we see a brother fall, and then we attack him and gossip and criticize and hurt and be hurtful. But that's not shining God's light. So here's the colors we're supposed to be shining back. We're supposed to go to him in all humbleness and meekness and try to show him. And we're supposed to be kind and peaceful to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So that means even to the world, we're supposed to be showing these fruits of the Spirit and showing all this that I just read to all men, but not just to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. Now, is that what we're reflecting back? Is that the color are we reflecting back? I know sometimes when I read supposedly Christian things on Facebook and hear people make comments about people they disagree with, can't say that there's any fruit of the Spirit in that. And I've actually got to the point now, I don't even, if it's on there enough, if it doesn't even look like it has any of those elements in it, or if it's trying to be helpful or just trying to be hurtful, I don't even read it anymore because it kind of makes me sick. But this is the light, this is the colors we're supposed to reflect back to God when He's shining on us. And this is what He expects to see. Because these, despite all the whole spectrum of light and what it entails, and the small little piece that's visible light, this has the biggest effect on us. Because it's the only thing that we can see. And it's the only, you know, and visible light is the only light that those that are lost can see. So I think God made a very good illustration when he said he's the light. He's the light because he shines on us and he expects our colors to reflect back on him when he's shining. And he expects our colors to reflect on the black world that doesn't have the light. We're the only way they're going to get it. And God knew that. What did Jesus say? You know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Preach spread the good news. Make disciples. Teach. He knew that. We're the only way that they're going to see the light. They're the only way that they're going to see the true colors of God. We represent that. Because when they see God, they see the one big white light. We are the colors that He represents. I want to leave with 1 Corinthians 13. This is one of my favorite chapters because I had someone one time did ask me, what is love? I thought, well, I can show you real quick because this is God's Word. If we went, you know, because everybody has a definition of love. So let's go to God's Word and see what His definition is. And in 1 Corinthians 13 it does. The word's charity, but the word is agape. They translate it charity, but it means godly love. So when I come to charity, I'm not going to say charity. I'm going to say godly love. I'm not changing the scriptures because that's what the word is. But just listen what it means when you hear it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not godly love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not godly love, I am nothing. So I can do all these great things. If I can do everything, if I can do all this stuff, you know, I can talk in tongues, I can talk to angels, I can move mountains, I can do great miracles, I can do all this, but if I don't have godly love, I got squat. I have nothing. Okay, so now he's getting into the definition of just what godly love is. Well, first, but he made the point. I don't care what you can do. If you don't have godly love, it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, or have not godly love, it profiteth me nothing. Godly love suffereth long and is kind. Godly love envieth not. Godly love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Godly love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, godly love, these three, but the greatest of these is godly love. Kind of makes it sound a little bit different, doesn't it? Same word. That when we do all these things, when we find our ministry that God wants us to have, when we start reflecting that light back, we always have to remember this. It always has to be done with godly love. You're not doing it to make yourself look good, because if you are, well, it's no good. You heard what Paul said. You know, if you're trying to, you know, make a mark with it, it ain't going to work. It has to be out of purely because of godly love that you're ministering and that you're touching. Or it's no good. If you're trying to do it for self-gain, to make yourself look good, for other things than other, because you love God, then it's not going to work. You're not reflecting anything back. You're just absorbing. You're absorbing light. And you're as black as where there's no light. But that's my message. God is the light. We're reflecting back His colors of light to the world, so the world can see what He's like. And He sees us in bits and pieces. And the world will see His light in us, the colors in us in bits and pieces. But you know how you get white light? You combine all those colors perfectly, and you have white light. That's the only way white exists. The only way white light can exist is if all those colors are combined. And that's the only way that the world can see is when His people, all the varied colors, when they come together for His cause and for them out of love for the world, then those colors combine and they see the white light. That's our job. And that's all I have.